Good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and call this Community Corrections Partnership meeting to order. It's 8:30 on June 12, 2024, and I'll hand it over to Becky for roll call.
Good morning. Chief Dickinson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer Leal.
Here.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Joseph Kimble from the Zimmer, here.
Public Defender Kane.
Here.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Here.
Director Burrows.
Here.
Chief Terry.
Here.
Administrator Olvera.
Here.
Director Murillo.
Here.
Executive Director Corson.
Here.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Ellis.
Here.
Superintendent Medebugru.
Double print.
John Medebugru. Victim Services Coordinator Pinkston.
Here.
Quorum, great, thank you. So we'll start with the consent. So all items listed with the CA are considered to be routine and non-controversial by staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the board or public wishes to comment or ask questions. If comment or discussion is desired by anyone, the item will be removed from the consent agenda and will be considered in the listed sequence with an opportunity for any member of the public to address the board concerning the item before the action is taken. Staff recommendations are shown in caps after each item. So for consent, we have items 1, 5, 6, and 7. And I'll ask if there's any public comment on any of the items on consent. I'm seeing no public comment. And I'll ask for a motion on consent.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion from Ms. Olvera.
I'll second.
I have a second from Leader Murillo. And then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Any abstentions? All right, motion carries on consent. Brings us to item number 2, which is public presentations. And the public is provided the opportunity to comment on agenda items at the time those agenda items are discussed by the CCP. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the CCP on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the CCP. CCP members may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification and through the CCP make a referral to staff for factual information or request staff to report back to the CCP at a later meeting. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. Please stand and spell your name for the record before making your presentation. So at this point, I'll invite any members of the public for any public comment on matters not on the agenda. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 3, which is chairperson's report. The only thing I have to report is to announce that the 23-24 carry forward report will be presented and discussed at the September's meeting once we get those numbers in, and the agencies will get the information to them in time to submit requests they may have. And that's all for my report. So brings us to item number 4. CCP committee member announcements or reports. Are there any announcements or reports from any members of the CCP? Hearing none. 5, 6, and 7 were covered in consent. It brings us to item number 8, community-based organization annual report for 2023. I believe we have Lieutenant Jaime Hernandez from the Sheriff's Office up to present.
Good morning. I'm Lieutenant Hernandez. I will be describing the AB 109 summary report for community-based organizations, CBOs, for last year, 2023. AB 109 funds continue to provide housing and supportive services by referring participants to the CBOs contracted by the County of Kern with the approval of the CCP. Programs and services were provided to individuals in Kern County who have been released from the state prison, county jail, and were under the supervision of the Probation Department, Sheriff's Office, or had received services with the Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Department. The goal of the referral is the reduction of criminal recidivism and to assist the AB 109 population in successful reentry to the community. The sober living environments included Bakersfield Recovery Services, Cottage of Hope and Gratitude Sober Living, Freedom House Recovery Homes, Mini Marbles Sober Living for Women and Children, New Life Recovery and Training Center, the Brown Family House, Third Tradition Sober Living, and the supportive services included Garden Pathways, One Door Recovery, Special Treatment Education and Prevention Services, West Care California, The contracts that I just described started January 1st of 2023 and are set to conclude December of next year, 2025. Total $2.4 million was paid in claim reimbursement to the CBOs for the services provided. Additionally, there was 1,077 participants enrolled in the whole program. Participants were referred by Kern County Probation and Kern County Sheriff's Office personnel. The sober living environments, which are the housing services, there were 786 participants for a total of 48,822 bed days. That was an increase of about 9,000 bed days over the number of the previous year, 2022. And the reason that is because we extended from 120 days to 180 days total, which that was an increase of 60 days per individual. And some of the services they received or provided were anger management, behavioral health management, clothing assistance, employment services, job search assistance, Medi-Cal enrollment, substance abuse classes, vocational training, and drug testing was conducted at all SLEs. There were 5,067 drug tests administered, which 18% reported testing positive. There was also 5,077 breathalyzer tests performed, which 2% of those reported testing positive. As part of the review process from all the CBOs, they were asked what was the greatest successful thing in their program, and they all agreed by giving participants much needed support, they were able to continue moving forward in their sobriety. By helping them to understand the recovery process and the importance of working together, they were able to overcome obstacles or barriers they previously could not. The non-residential services, there were 291 participants and 103 participants who successfully completed the program. The Sheriff's Office and its partner agencies would like to thank all the CBOs for their service to the communities in Kern County. This concludes my presentation. Do you guys have any questions for me?
See any questions from the CCP?
I'm actually next as well, so then I'll just step back a little bit.
I'll just ask for public comment in case you had any public comment on your presentation. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, that's a receive and file. And then now we'll move on to item number 9, which are funding proposals for the 2425 AB109 carry forward reserves, where we'll present and discuss proposals for the 2425 carry forward reserves. The fiscal impact is $4,597,820.56. And so we do have some proposals, and we will start with you, Lieutenant Hernandez. Thank you.
Thank you. The Sheriff's Office has an agenda to request for fiscal year 24-25 carry forward reserves in the amount of $1,919,391 for purchase of body-worn cameras and docking stations, intercoms, and jail cells. Costs associated with the implementation of our investigations and canine unit in detentions and cameras for our transportation buses. I'm available for questions.
Questions from the CCP on the sheriff's proposal for that? Okay, hearing none, and we'll hear all the presentations, and then we'll do public comment on any and all of them. So thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
For number B, that's probation's request. I'll take that. We're requesting carry forward reserves in the amount of $1 million. And the department will use these funds for building infrastructure and improvements for the AB109 and Adult Supervision Division's new shared location. The building will need to be outfitted with required programming, technology, and security equipment upon completion. To better meet the growing demands of serving the AB109 population, the department plans on leasing a new building to house all adult probation supervision services in one location, a one-stop shop for all participants. It's critical officers conducting case management to have an adequate environment to meet with offenders under their supervision and provide the necessary services to redirect their behavior in a pro-social manner. The new location will accommodate adult supervision units and the adult programs center, improving service delivery and ensuring accountability and opportunity to the AB-109 and adult probation population. So now, as it stands, our adult felony supervision unit work out of the courthouse on the fourth floor. It's a task to get to every day if you work there, and if you're someone comes to see a probation officer, it's a task to get up there too, to get through all the screens at the courthouse and everything that entails. Meanwhile, our AB-109 supervision units meet over at Southeast Center on East Bell Terrace. And so we have adult supervision happening on two different sides of town. We're close to being in a lease on a property across from Memorial Hospital on 34th Street. We'll be able to consolidate all of our adult supervision into one building. Easier access for offenders coming through who might have multiple needs there. Like it says here, the adult programming center will be working out of there too. That's where evidence-based programs are provided, so it really is a one-stop shop. So the money used there, like I said, we build out infrastructure. We'll need things like, you know, Wi-Fi capability, you know, security screenings, upgraded flooring, you know, things you need to run a building, running new electrical, things that we don't have exact quotes yet on because we aren't in the lease, but that's what the money's for our request. So with that, I'll ask if there's any questions from the CCP on our request. Okay, I'm not seeing any on that. So the next one up would be Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. And I believe we have Jennifer Seneca. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Seneca, and I'm a program supervisor with Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. I am here today to talk to you about funding for the recovery station. Our department came to you in December 2022 requesting $1.5 million to sustain this program. And today I'm here to present a similar request. The recovery station has been operational since 2020. It runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And since its opening, capacity has increased from 10 beds to 15. Currently, the annual operating cost is just under $2.2 million. It is possible that based on negotiations with a vendor that those costs may be higher for 25-26. If it is, we will address further funding needs at that time as we navigate the contracting process. Next slide, please. Individuals make their way to the recovery station through a variety of referral sources, primarily through law enforcement agencies, the MET team, the PEC and the QUIC, flood ministries, and behavioral health and contract provider mental health and substance use disorder outpatient teams. The number of clients who have received services at the recovery station through May of this fiscal year was 1,683. And based on that number, we project that more than 1,800 individuals will receive services at the recovery station. Funding for fiscal year 24-25 will be provided by MHSA and AB-109 dollars. For fiscal year 25-26, our department is allocating almost $1.2 million in BHSA and MHSA funds, and we hope to supplement the remainder with AB-109 funds from the carry forward reserves. This is an important program that targets our AB-109 population, so we continue to look for ways to fund the recovery station. We are experiencing fiscal uncertainty due to Prop 1. Therefore, we want to ensure we have secured funds to sustain recovery station operations. Therefore, I am asking your board to approve the requested AB-109 funds from the carry forward reserves in the amount of $1 million to sustain recovery station operations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seneca. Are there any questions from the CCP?
Of the 1,683 people, are those repeat offenders in that number, or are those all individual people?
Some are repeat visitors to the recovery station.
And do you have a number for original, I mean, individual?
We do not have those, no.
I'm just curious, I mean, if we're spending this kind of money for 75 people, we're throwing money in the wind. If it's 1,683 individuals, I'm much more amenable to that.
Right.
The capacity, do you maintain full capacity every day, or you said the capacity is 15? I know that that's, how long a period of time are they there, that 15? I know many come throughout the day and get different treatment and services, but.
The average length of time that individuals at the recovery station range from 4 to 10 hours. The capacity just reached 15 within the last couple of months. At last check, they had not utilized full capacity.
Do you get most of your people coming into the center through the Met Team Behavioral Health or through law enforcement, finding individuals intoxicated? Do you know?
I can take that question too. So right now, most of our referrals come through from a psychiatric evaluation center, but those are coming from law enforcement who still feel very comfortable going to our psych center and then moving on to the recovery station. We do get some direct referrals from law enforcement, and we're continuing to try and grow that number so that then they don't even need to go to a psychiatric evaluation center. So it's kind of a continued process, but it is a resource for law enforcement, psych center, our own department, and other community referrals too.
What does the service provide? They're only there for 8 to 10 hours, and they're under the influence when they get there. What's actually being provided?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that question.
What services does the center actually provide? If they're only there for 10 hours at most, for most people, and they're under the influence when they get there, is it just an alternative to incarceration for a few hours, or is there anything?
I can take that question too, sorry. So we work with Telecare, who's our provider over there. Our model for the recovery station is to link people to services and try and engage them during that period. A lot of sobering centers are kind of just to sober up and then kind of release, but the model we've got really tries to engage them. So not everybody's open to the engagement, but that is a high priority for us. So we are trying to provide the interventions when they sober up and the linkage, and then transportation home or to, you know, another treatment facility if that's where they need to go.
Can I add an item? So the recovery station, as it was initially created as an MHSA innovation program, our innovative part was including peers to deliver these services. Much like SLEs employ folks who are in recovery themselves, we find that this element helps to engage folks who may only come in for a few hours. And if they hear folks talking about their own experience in recovery, that might push them to continue.
Do you have any additional questions from the CCP? Thank you, Ms. Sindica. At this point, I'm going to skip to F, or to E, I'm sorry, for Veteran Services. And I believe we have Heather Pierce, Business Manager here for F.
Good morning. My name is Heather Pierce. I'm the Business Manager for Veteran Service Department. The Kern County Veteran Service Department requests additional funds in the amount of $50,500 to supplement partial salaries of new employees who will be CCP qualified as well as federally accredited VA claims representatives. Additional advancements in technology have made us more accessible to clients, whether they are incarcerated in an institution or remotely at their residence throughout Kern County. An additional $10,000 is requested to increase the amount of mobile tablet devices we have available, as well as necessary mobile data devices to provide secure internet links when working remotely. Kern County Veteran Service Department requests $60,500. Jose Lopez, who is our director, is away at a conference, but he wrote this statement that he would like me to read on his behalf regarding Ms. Alyssa Butler. Can you stand up, please? Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. I want to take this opportunity to introduce the Kern County Veteran Service Office's CCP representative, Alyssa Bow. Ms. Bow joined the department team in January of 2020 as a direct result of CCP's inception and mission. Although hiring a veteran service representative is normal procedure, the specific recruitment had the caveat that it was specifically aimed at providing benefit advocacy to justice-involved veterans at any phase of their life, to include but not limited to attending parole meetings entering local and state institutions, and coordinating with family members and dependents as needed. Some applicants were quick to decline this job offer, and others' tone in their voice noticeably changed throughout the interview. But Ms. Bow saw only a challenge that she could tackle without any hesitation and accepted the challenge. While I can take credit for training her on the basics of veterans benefits, I must give her all the credit she is due for all the research and effort she put into developing relationships with local, state, and federal institutions. Figuring out how to navigate the endless bureaucracy of VA benefits when they are affected by incarceration, probation, or parole, and managing a caseload that allows her to keep a record of veteran statuses and their dependents so she always knows how to best assist her clients. Ms. Bow ensures that all barriers to benefits have a solution and ensures that appropriate referrals to respective service providers are made to help veterans successfully reintegrate into the community and reduce the possibility of recidivism. Ms. Bow's stellar performance and dedication has propelled her through the ranks of our department, and she is now the supervising veteran service representative in charge of all departmental training, including onboarding and ongoing training. It is through her experience with this program that she will now be implementing CCP training as part of all onboard training so that the CCP caseload can now be distributed between all trained veteran service representatives within the department. The addition of this training and added technology will also allow us to expand our outreach duties to all corners and institutions of Kern County and beyond. Because even though a veteran may be institutionalized outside of Kern County, their families are here continuing to support their households with one less provider. This introduction is long overdue, and I am sincerely sorry that I could not be here today to recognize Ms. Bow and her efforts, but I ask that everyone please join me and give her a round of applause. And also we have here Dr. Scott Johnson and Dr. Rachel Wood from Kern Valley State Prison, who Alyssa works closely with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to say something?
Sure. Thank you.
Sure. Good morning. Ms. Bow, would you like to say anything, Ms. Bow?
Well, I appreciate Jose's kind words. The program has been very successful, especially meeting individuals like Dr. Johnson and Dr. Woods. When the veterans are going into incarceration, they think that all services are severed. There are particular laws that apply to them, but it's nice being able to give them that hope where, hey, we are able to service connect you, so now your children have the opportunity to go to college. If they're not wanting to go to college, they can do a trade program. You know, I can help put them in the correct location. So it gives them that hope to be able to come out and see those graduations, and makes them a little bit more receptive into entering those programs. So
thank you for your service. Congratulations.
Good morning. I could not have said this any better than Mr. Lopez did. Dr. Wood and I, we are psychologists at Kern Valley State Prison Veteran Services. Our boss is the first chief of mental health to provide a specific veteran services for incarcerated veterans. And with the partnership with the Veteran Service Office, we've helped more veterans in the last 18 months than our veterans tell us that at our site, we've helped more in 18 months than the last 15 years. And also statewide, we have veterans coming on site saying, I've been incarcerated 30 years and nobody, and you guys have come to my cell front and I've been begging for help for 20, 30 years, and you're coming to us for services. Because as you may know, our veterans, a significant portion of them have undiagnosed and untreated PTSD, brain injuries. Many people on the streets have no idea that they have these combat-related issues. And our veterans, we're assisting them with the diagnostics, the treatment, and these are for honorably earned issues that they had from honorable service. And so there's that critical need to get them service connected for their disability, what they have coming from the VA. Because the veterans on the street have a very hard time connecting with the VA, but for incarcerated veterans, it's impossible without outside help. And these services connect the veteran with their family, because with these, while the veterans are deployed at Kern Valley State Prison as an extended tour, I mean, there are significant services that are available for their spouse, for their children. And even for some of our veterans who aren't going home, I have a Vietnam combat veteran who has sent his adult children to UCLA as a result of his honorable service. And what that has done for reconnecting and making that veteran an honorable part of his family again and celebrating and honoring his service has been critical to his well-being. And for those who have the chance to go to Board of Parole, those veterans, if they don't have a bed and treatment available, the chances of them passing board are minimal. But when they have services, treatment, housing available, their chances go up significantly because these veterans do not recidivate. In the last 18 months, we have sent several veterans home to the Palo Alto VA where they have they can get 6 to 24 months of transitional services, drug treatment, mental health treatment, job placement, family reunification. They have an on-site gym and indoor pool. I mean, it's rock star treatment that has been earned by these folks. And while they have that full integration services with their family as well. So the pre-release, the board prep, ultimately, this is all to help our veterans that finally have the opportunity to go and stay home. So I cannot state enough what Alyssa Rowe and her office have done for our veterans. I'm beyond grateful. So, and thank all of you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Appreciate it. Are there any questions from the CCP for Ms. Pierce on the governor's report? All right, hearing none. I'll take E and F together. So if in looking at the proposals that have been made by the sheriff, probation, behavioral health, and veteran services, that leaves a remainder of $617,938.56. Staff's recommendation would be that go to the CBO fund with zero going to contingency under number F. The reason being is because at the last meeting when we had the larger amount of over $15 million, based on CAO's office recommendation, this board approved $10,888,100 to go to contingency. So I feel like contingency's in a good spot. So if the proposals made are approved as recommended, the remainder would all go to CBO. Any questions from the CCP on D or F, CBO or contingency? Okay, hearing none. Are there any public comments on this item related to any one of the presentations or them as a whole? Okay, I'm hearing no public comments on this item. So with that, I will take a motion to make recommendation to executive committee to approve the proposals.
Motion.
Motion from Lita Morrill.
I'll second.
Second from Anna Olvera. We have a motion and a second. And then we'll take a roll call vote. Phil Pecky.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Deal.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Counsel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
Chief Terry.
Yes.
Administrator Olvera.
Yes.
Director Murillo.
Yes.
Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Ellis.
Yes.
Superintendent Ndiguru.
Mike Foreman and Brewer, yes.
And Victim Services Coordinator Kingston. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. We'll move on to item number 10, which is the Public Safety Act Implementation Plan and Allocations for Fiscal Year 24-25. And with that, we have some presentations again. And so I think Lieutenant Hernandez, you're back up.
Yes, I'm back up. Good morning, again. Request for fiscal year 24-25 base allocation using the established percentage allocation in the amount of $25,151,512 to maintain current staffing and service levels. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Hearing none. Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll call Probation Division Director Brian Gayona. Good morning.
Morning, everyone. Brian Gayona, probation. Probation proposes keeping its existing 35.56% of the base allocation. This equates to a total of $22,775,344. This funding allocation will continue AB 109 operation activities for the probation department. There are no significant changes to the proposed probation plan for fiscal year 24-25, except for one departmental analyst has been changed to one administrative coordinator position. The chart included in the handout is there for your review, and I'm glad to answer any questions.
If there are no questions, thank you, Mr. Gettman.
Thank you.
I'll move on to Behavioral Health Recovery Services, and that's the Griffith Burroughs, that's you.
Yeah, I'll take that. So current Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, we're proposing to keep our existing portion of the base allocation, which is $8,684,362. There are some additional expenditures related to AB 109 services that the department is going to continue to absorb. This is the same request, so no changes in the proposal, no changes to the services. This is largely to fund our staffing and services in the jail and also some services with contractors in the outpatient system, but no changes from last year.
Any questions for Director Burroughs? Hearing none, we move to the District Attorney's Office and Mr. Kinsel.
Yes, the District Attorney is seeking to maintain current staffing levels, the same allocations as previous years, in the amount of $2,741,240.
Any questions for the District Attorney's Office? Hearing none. Be for now and go to the Public Defender's Office.
Peter Kane, thank you. Public Defender's Office. We're requesting an amount consistent with the percentage of prior years of $1,370,620,000, which is equivalent to one half the base funding allocation for the District Attorney's Office. Prepared to answer any questions.
Hearing no questions from the CCP. Brings us to Employers Training Resource and Mr. Ellis.
Yes, Employers Training Resource is requesting $883,858, which is based on our percentage that we normally receive every year. Most of our dollars are spent on staffing and also providing paid work experience, on-the-job training. We also try to leverage some of our WIOA and other funding dollars to provide training programs and so forth for our referrals from the Sheriff and the Probation Department. We've actually, this past year, we've changed some staff up, so we have actually increased our enrollments for this program. Currently we have, which we've never had before, it's 24 referrals and actually paid work experience programs. We also have four on-the-job training contracts where these folks get jobs with employers when we pay 50% of their wages as well. So that's why we're requesting $883,858.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Any questions for Mr. Ellis? Hearing none. Next up, I believe we have Captain Justin Dampier from Ridgecrest PD. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Justin Dampier, representing the Ridgecrest Police Department. I'm standing in for our newly appointed Police Chief Mario Isit, who looks forward to meeting some of you individually over the next couple of months. The Street Interdiction Team is requesting a fiscal budget of $435,524 for the next fiscal year. The first 10 months of this last fiscal year resulted in over 20 days of enforcement operations with 282 planned targets and 68 arrests. Basically about 25% of the targets contacted resulted in arrest. And we're looking forward to continuing these enforcements and the multi-agency networking and throughout our county. I'm open for any questions. Thank you.
Hearing none, thank you, Captain. Now move to Veteran Services, and Heather Pierce, I believe you're back up.
Good morning again. The Kern County Veteran Service Department has historically had a dedicated veteran services representative dedicated to provide benefit advocacy and case management to veterans and their families at any stage in the criminal justice system. Since the implementation of the program, we have assisted 345 local veterans and family members who are incarcerated, or the veterans are incarcerated, with 157 veterans assisted in fiscal year 2023-24. Our supervising veteran service representative assisted 30 veterans via virtual conferences while assisting with their VA compensation or pension benefits. The Kern County Veteran Service Department is excited by our continued success and looks forward to continuing to assist veterans and their families as they navigate the criminal justice system and move forward on life's journey. Based on our continued success and increased advocacy in the form of additional trained CCP staff, the total request from the Community Corrections Partnership for fiscal year 2024-25 is $172,929, which will be used to provide funding for the multiple CCP qualified veteran services representatives. One supervising veteran service representative, two tablets, and updated mobile data devices, as well as video conferencing licensing to work with justice-involved veterans and their families. Do you have any questions?
Any questions, Ms. Pierce?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pierce. So I'll take E and J, the CBO fund and the contingency. Both are just in accordance with the percentage calculations. No changes there. And with that, I'll open it up to any members of the public who would like to comment on any of these items that we just presented on. Hearing none, with that, I will take a motion to make allocation recommendations to the executive committee to approve the plan and submit to the Board of Supervisors for approval.
Horstman, so moved.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second from Director Burroughs. And I'll take a roll call vote on this one as well.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Lee.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Counsel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
Chief Terry.
Yes.
Administrator Olvera.
Yes.
Director Murillo.
Yes.
Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Ellis.
Yes.
Superintendent Mendebulu.
Thank you for Mendebulu.
Yes. And Victim Services Coordinator Pinkston.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Leads us to announce our next meeting will be on Patriots Day, Wednesday, September 11, 2024 at 8:30 a.m. at this location. And with that, I would like to, since our last meeting, Janice Marvell, owner and operator of Mini Marvels, passed away. So I'd like to adjourn in her honor and her memory today. And with that, we'll adjourn at 9:09 a.m. Thank you, everyone, for coming. All right, I think we're ready to convene as the executive committee. It's 9:11 a.m., June 12, 2024. And Becky will do a roll call.
Chief Dickinson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer Leal.
Here.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Kendall for Zimmer. Here.
Public Defender King.
Here.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Here.
Director Burroughs.
Here.
And Chief Terry.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. Now we'll move to the consent agenda. All items are listed with the CA, routine and non-controversial. Anyone can take any of those off of the list that they would like to, and we can discuss them in the order that they are listed. So with that, we have items 1, 4, and 5 on consent. And offer any public comment on that? Hearing none, and I'll take a motion on that.
Motion, Kinzel.
Second, Terry.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Abstain. Motion carries. And brings number 2, public presentations. Are there any members of the public that would like to talk about anything under the purview of the CCP Executive Committee, but not on the agenda? Seeing none. Move on to item number three, executive committee member announcements or reports. Any announcements or reports from the executive committee? Hearing none. That takes us to item number six, the funding proposals for fiscal year 24-25, AB-109 carry forward reserves. And we had a recommendation from the CCP for carry forward reserves as indicated, and we would have any discussion on that from the committee. Any public comment on that? Hearing none. And I would take a motion to approve, authorize the chair to submit to Board of Supervisors for approval.
Motion.
Second, Kinzel. And Blood and Kinzel, and we'll do a roll call vote on this.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leal.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Kinzel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender Kane.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
And Chief Terry.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Brings us to item number seven, County Fair and Public Safety Act Implementation Plan and Allocation for fiscal year 24-25. This was presented at the CCP, and we have any discussion from the executive CCP on this? Don't hear any additional discussion. Any public comment on this item for executive? Hearing no public comment, then I will take a motion to approve and authorize the chair to submit to Board of Supervisors for approval.
Motion.
Second, Kinzel. Terry and Kinzel, and we'll do a roll call vote on this as well.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leal.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Kinzel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender Kane.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
Chief Terry.
Yes.
All right, motion carries, and we will take item number eight. We will meet again on September 11th, 2024, immediately following the CCP. We will adjourn as executive committee at 9:15 a.m.